Log Talk Radio.
To the R to the X.
This is Real Talk, Real Entertainment, and we open with Led Zeppelin, because you and I, we know something about the Zepp and the Led, because that was all we had to hear in high school.
That was it.
That was
a daily dose.
That was a daily dose at lunch, at breakfast, at driving home at the party. Now we get a lawsuit 40 years later after this. You know, as a DJ, this record is very popular. People have come to me from Japan, from London, and DJs from all around the United States. If you have this at a record show, they want to buy that record because of the sample qualities in there. Now, what you think about a lawsuit 40 years later? Now, let's be clear. This is not the same lawsuit as your boy Pharrell against Marvin Gaye.
That's right.
That was a sample suit. This is a notation suit that says that Led Zeppelin took the same notation that the group Spirit had, and when they took it was when they toured with them back in the 60s or 70s, whenever the hell it was. What you think, bro? This is old hat, ain't it?
I think everybody's looking for that silver lining, and that's what they're trying to do. I think it's a little too late for me personally. I mean, it's a little too late. You should have did it when the album first came out. You should have jumped on it then. Now you're going to wait 40 years later to jump on it and try to raise some hoopla. It's a little late for that. But if you got documentation and it lines up, then I guess go for it, I guess. But I think it's a little too late.
The problem is, I started playing guitar in the second grade. That was the early 70s. And you would hear that riff. Let me look. What year did this come out? This came out in, of course, they don't have a year on the record. Thanks, Jimmy Page. Maybe this is part of the investigation. Oh, there is no year on the album cover. Oh, thanks, Jimmy Page. Bum, bum, bum. All right, let me look closer then. You all right? This is why you motherfuckers getting sued. Okay, 1971, I saw it. All right. Yeah, okay, so I heard this coming up. And I remember that... And I've taken a lot of music and music theory. You know, that was my thing. That was my minor in college. I just didn't finish it because I actually started listening to the music.
Really, though. Well, you know, I grew up with my brother, and, you know, he graduated in 72. So I heard that all my life, basically, Stairway to Heaven, you know, Led Zeppelin, the album cover, the whole nine yards. It was very much an integrated part of me learning how to listen to music, you know, to understand music. So
specific to the suit, the sampling of the note, which seems to me like I'm more musical in terms of a player than you, musician than you. And so during my studies, those, the things that which they're suing them for, which was just the intro, you will hear that in old Celtic, Irish, European, ancient tracks, and I've heard this before. I like classical music as well, so I've heard that in other places, and recently one news organization actually played the same notation from 1700, which actually gives credence to what Led Zeppelin is saying. Now, we didn't steal it. It's been around for years.
Yeah, and so, again, I don't believe that they stole it. I just think that they used it. In other words, it sounded good to them, and they said, okay, let's put this in here, and it made sense. And so, yeah, again, if you were going to sue them, you should have sued them a long time ago. This is just a happened circumstance, and I think they're just trying to get paid. That's what that is, because this is one of them all-time favorite songs. I mean, everybody, I mean, it still sells. So, yeah, they want some of that.
They probably are having financial issues, and somebody gave them some hip-hop idea, but it's not the same. And I don't know if when it gets to jury and judge, if people will, well, the judge will, but if the jury will really, really understand that this is only about notation, it's not a chord progression. Now, here's the thing, G. Let's say you and I were DJs on tour, and we toured for a year, and you had a particular mix, and I had a particular mix. And somehow, some of your mix ended up in my mix. And you'd be like, you stole my mix. I'd be like, yeah, but not really. Did you own the mix? Where did you get the mix from? I did get influenced by your mix. I mean, this is what it's coming down to. It's fractions within your ear. Because we have the same pattern, let's say using the DJ example, that DJ Cool Red Alert did 4 years prior to both of us. And so either you got it from him, possibly, and I filtered it from you, but how can you claim it as your mix? This is what the suit's about.
Yeah, exactly. And you really can't claim it because it's left to the artist to use. And you know, just like back in the day when I used to do my mixes with all kind of different musics and mix and mashup stuff, did I know that 20, 30 years later is that mix-up, mash-up shit that I used to do is now very, very popular with certain DJs out there? Well, whatever. I'm not trying to go and sue them for it. I mean, it was just the style, you know? And
Yeah.
It was
I'm gonna give you that. I'm going to give you that because, actually, you know, I was deep in that DJ business, and some of what you and Guy and even I was doing with the tape deck, because I was a tape deck DJ at first. I ain't going to lie. I was the tape cat. You know, I'd steal it off the radio if I could. But, you know, by the time we did have turntables and that was working probably, you know, some of your early mixes were, I didn't hear that before. I've never heard it until now, like a style. But then I see that with some of what I was doing. You know, I was always a sample mixologist, so I like to go to the root of the hip-hop current track, so that's why I have all these old samplable tracks, not just because they're sample worthy, but because I also groove to the old school. You feel me? Because I'm old school. So at the end of the day, you know, I remember when I bought virtualdjs.com, and then I remember when I didn't pay for the account. Now, that's just huge. I get no money. So you live, you learn, you innovate. But one thing you and I still do is we keep going, though.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I don't think that, you know, as far as notation is concerned, that's something that you can really sue about. You know what I'm saying? Again, that's like a DJ style. Okay, well, I like that DJ style, but I'm not going to actually take his mix step for step for step, but I'm going to do my thing with it. And
let me add this real quick. Just think about this. They're suing because they're saying that they stole that little insert piece, the intro, because they toured with them and they had it in another song. And we already know it was present in a prior song. Now, how many blues records have you heard with the same intro?
Well, you know what? Let's take it back to the guitar. You've been studying the guitar. How many chords can you play on the guitar? And I mean, in the rock chords, they only play, what, about maybe 5-6 chords, really?
They didn't need to play no more. Because that's
right.
All
so need. So it gets used over and over and over again. You know, I don't think that's something you can sue for. I think that's just the style. That's just the nature. You know, and this is before sampling was even sampling, you know, so it's kind of hard to say that they can win that case, but we never know with the way the court system runs and works.
The technical term, as I was taught, and when I became freestyling with trumpet and guitar, meaning moving away from notation and playing what I hear and what I feel, is called riffing. Okay, you steal a riff. Jazz musicians, vocal and instrumental, always take riffs from other places. Every Jamaican artist, every reggae track is riff and riff-tastic. I mean, all of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You go hear it in another song, and that's what they're known for. But it's called a riff, and so you normally can't really sue for a riff, because it's not the whole song. And that intro is important to the song, but it doesn't define the entire song. If I had to remix it today, knowing that they was going to sue, and I was in charge, well, fuck it. We won't come with that. We may just come with some congas. Or we'll come with high notes from Jimmy Page, the lead singer. Right? We'll just
right.
Some high notes and do some other things to get in that groove, and the rest of the song will remain the same, which is one of their songs. The song remains the same. Let me stop while I'm ahead, D.R.X. Talking D.A., I wasn't trying to be all wax poetic, but sometimes I guess, you know, it's like the microphone brings you in, you know, it brings in my inner Hamilton, bro.
You're still trying to get 16 bars.
Well, you know, I already realized I'm not going to get them from you, okay? I'm going to have to. The only way I can get them from you is just start recording everything like I do and then cut that up in the 16 bars. So I'm thinking about a way to take our conversations and not the crazy ones, but the good ones and the shows. And,
I think the crazy ones are the ones that are going to sell, though, bro.
See, next thing you know, we're down at the judge's house. And, well, why did you say that, Mr. Rogers? Well, I was just being wax poetic. Working on 16 balls. Now you're all working on 16 balls. So sometimes, you know, we can't cut a trunk ourselves. We have limitations, don't we?
We do.
It's a Catholic private school and a damn good one. So we can't do all that, even if we feel all that and know all that.
Yeah, we got a little bit of common sense, which ain't common.
Why don't you start talking about how the NBA just showed me that the Chris Webberism is a real fact?
Well, like I said, anytime that you got 7 games, you got to place drama in those 7 games. If you watch any bit, if you watch any,
I don't want to hear no excuses.
No, this ain't no excuse. This is no excuse. This is the NBA. to rival themselves with the NFL, they have to produce drama. They have to produce drama. There's no way around it. I mean, otherwise you'll get ate up by the NFL and you'll cease to exist. So you got to create drama. You got to create stories. It's got to be a fairy tale ending sometimes. You know what I'm saying? So we got to deliver that to the people. Otherwise, the NBA would just be a basketball game. You know, it would be at its purest level, high school. You know, where one team plays, where one team plays another team, win or lose, that's it. But we want more than that when we're on the big screen. We want to know about each player. We want to know that, oh, he's hurt or this or that or that or this. So they create the drama for us to enjoy the sport.
I think that you would be the next Vin Scully with all that nice bullshit. Who said it best? He said, man, I lost my shirt. I said, you didn't bet on the Warriors, bro, and you lived up there too? You know better than that. We don't, We feeling as if that was some Chris Webberism, and you just need to just own it, and you know what I'm trying to say without saying it, because I don't need NBA ballers now on my bad side.
again, like you got to be political, the NBA wants drama to compare themselves to the NFL. You know what I'm saying? So to do that, we have to sometimes alter certain situations. How's that?
Well, that's
the outcome ain't always going to be the outcome, because we can change the outcome as needed to suit the viewers.
You hear that violin? The outcome will always not be the outcome. Yeah, that's 16 bars right there. In other words, you put your money out there like a clown, and we told you, as you listened to our previous show, we all about it, but the analysis is, don't bet. If you're going to bet, bet ice cream bars.
Right. Don't even bet pennies.
You can get 16 ice cream bars for $2, okay? So, you know, I'm sorry that my partner, ex-Marine, lost his shirt. He lost his shirt because he was begging for 25 cents to get a fruit. Because he was hot from 2 days ago. So, had nothing to do with the overwhelming heat in California. He was just hot. But at the end of the day, have we learned anything about professional sports and the integrity this year? All the doping cases.
Well, what we've learned is the fix is in. That's what we do know. The fix is in. Whether it's doping, whether it's the dramatic story, whether how they televise it or what they do televise and don't televise is, we know that the fix is in. And so if you can't see what the fix is, don't bet your money.
You know what I think the next game, the next level of NFL gaffer will be? The gaffer. How about the whole turn back? But the gaffer will be, we're not going to deflate or over-inflate the ball. Straight nerf balls, TRX. Touchdown every time. Nobody even figured it out. Straight nerf balls. Paint it up. You know, they had the heavy ones. And then they just throw like a complete spiral. I could throw for a whole block.
Right. They were designed to throw for a whole block.
Man, put a straight Nerf ball with some cool magnets in it and put the gloves with the magnetic. I better shut up before people show up here and start taking more pictures up.
Again, the fix is in. So whether it's the storyline or whether it's the doping or non-doping, the fix is in. And we should realize that when you go out there to try to be betting on a game of chance. Because it's not so much a game of chance anymore because the fix is in.
Yeah, but why is it a game of chance? It used to be a game of sport.
Well, again, because now we've gone into the gambling. And so once you go into gambling, it has to be a game of chance, not a game because, one, you want more losers than you do have winners. And the only way to do that is put the fix in for that to happen. It's just like going to Vegas. You know, you can go in there and start winning, but how many other people around you are losing? The odds are in their favor, and it's always going to be in their favor because the fix is in.
Yeah, that's always the case, bro. That's always the case. Hey, PRS, I think we need to take a break. And before I take that break, let me go through this top 10 chart. We kind of got away because we've been doing so many rest in peace segments here. But Billboard Top 100 for week July 2nd. One Dance, Drake featuring Wizkid and Kyla. Can't Stop the Feeling, Justin Timberlake. Panda, Designer, finally moving down from week two. It's been on the chart a long time, too. Don't Let Me Down, The Chainsmokers featuring Daya. Even at four, Work From Home, Fifth Harmony featuring Ty Dolla $ign. Even at five, This Is What You Came For, Calvin Harris featuring Rihanna. Moving up to six, Need It Me, moving up, Rihanna again, seven. Moving up, Cheap Thrills, Sia featuring Sean Paul, eight from 13. And
we haven't heard from him in a while.
Well, you know, I think it's
well, here we haven't heard from him in a while. In Jamaica, he's probably got a lot more music out.
That's what I was trying to say, you know, and in the dancehall club arrangement, when you start dealing with dubs and sampling again, you may be out on all kind of new stuff you and I don't know about. I took a pill in IPs of Mike Posner, moving down from nine. Don't Mind Kent Jones. It's one of the newest things we've said. Don't Mind Kent Jones is moving, is at number 10. Now, you know, the funny thing is with this Billboard is that, you know, it's week in and week out, bro. It's the same old name. Same old name. Week in and week out, okay? And you may think about that as I say that Finding Dory did $135 million this weekend.
Just keep swimming.
Central Intelligence with your boy, Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, did $36 million. And The Conjuring, number two, is 14.8, or roughly $15 million over the weekend. But, you know, worldwide, same weekend, or still at this point in the weekend, is Captain America 3, Zootopia, Jungle Book, Batman vs. Superman. Oh, dude, we're looking at billions. Right at, all of these are really pressing up against the billions. Deadpool at number five at $778 million. Just to give you an outlook, Captain America at number one was at $1.44.969591 billion.
Well, you know, it was the newest thing out there, you know. So, you know, when they bring the Justice League together, it's going to be a hot seller too, you know, again, because we're going back into our childhood and we want to see it on the silver screen.
All right, GRX, we're going to take a break, and we're going to take this break with, again, the intro to Led Zeppelin. And see what we can pull. Well, I just shut it off. I am an idiot. Thank you. point is, anybody could have did that.
Right. Anybody.
If I could have did it, well then, my man, I need them 16 bars right there. Come on, G. You could have.
I can't give you. I can't give you them 16.
I just sampled it for the. I mean, dude, we post slaves. We just sampled the master shit. Come on now. Come on, G. Let's do this. That was a platinum moment, man. God, see, I tried to backdoor him again. Come on, G.
I can't do it for you, bro. Can't do it for you.
Can I get some Barry White then? Can I get some Barry White? Can I get some harmony? Come on, you can give me a ha 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 ha. Come on, now. Well, right
look,
on. Can I
look,
get a
look.
Right on?
Check this, check this
right
out. Check this out. If I'd give you that, we're gonna be in the courthouse.
You know what? I might take that risk because it might take you 40 years to sue me. I'll be 92 40 years. Well, okay then, motherfucker.
Check it out. It won't be us suing each other. It'd be the kids suing each other.
I don't have none at the moment that I know about.
I'm just saying that you know of. You
but
keep this
see,
show going,
point,
you just might find some.
Yeah, yeah. So I better get back to playing, huh? Shit. Well, shit. The hell with you there, GRX? I'm going to have to find me to give me 19 bars. Now, I done moved it up from 16 to 19. I just realized I'm gifted. And so, shit, in 40 years, yeah, I might just raise $19 million on... playing around with my partner, GRX. So you got to be careful, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and you know what? He got the bars within him. He just won't release it.
Like I said, I'm not trying to go to court.
that's funny.
Not trying to go to court, bro.
Really, really funny. We have ran out of time. I think we were going to talk about something else, but I don't know. If you got something.
Well, we can talk about my upcoming show, which we're going to talk about a couple of projects that I have started and where they're going with them. Especially using those new SMD lights, LED lights I got. I want to talk a little bit about that on the show. Just talk about this bad weather we have.
Yeah.
You know,
and
what that means
that
to your garden.
And we're going to do that over a little Tyrone Davis. Now, keep talking, brother.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, and then we just going to move into...
Slow it down, GRA.
We're going to talk about the bad weather, because not all sunny weather is good weather, and we're just going to talk about our growing experiences on the next coming up show, and some of maybe some laws. We're just going to take it willy nilly, but we're going to give you something that's pertinent to that marijuana game, you know, the legal marijuana game. Got to pay the bills right, because you don't want nobody taking our information and using it for bad and then turn around and say, well, they told me to do it. So
we can't control all that. Like I told you on or told folks, everybody listening to my show, and from the jail to the White House. So at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. All we can do is speak truth to this game, right?
Yeah, you got to stay true to the game. That's what it is all about.
This is Real Talk, Real Entertainment. We are out, G to the R to the X. I'm going to holler at you.
All right.
Be ready for your show on Thursday, folks. I think I will be back tomorrow, Real Talk at Blue Think Tank. I'm almost certain I'll be back tomorrow, Real Talk, Blue Think Tank. Tune in. Thank you.
We out.